Okay, Mr. Chairman. Go ahead, Mr. Chairman.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is the start of the Arizona Game and Fish meeting. As everyone knows who has listened before we start these meetings, we ask for the Pledge of Allegiance. I'd like to ask Kent Comadilla to lead us in the pledge.
Very good. I pledge allegiance to the flag
of the
United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Like the commissioners from the right side to the left side of the podium to go ahead and introduce themselves.
Mr. Chairman, if you will, I'll do a quick roll call since we're all on the phone.
And if I'll you'll also do your staff also, that'd be great.
Absolutely. So, Chairman Sparks?
Yes.
Vice Chairman Davis?
Here.
Commissioner Brake? Commissioner Brake, take yourself off mute. Do we still have Commissioner Brake on the line? Commissioner Guggenhauer?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. Commissioner Geiler, who I do not believe is on yet. I'm going to go back to Commissioner Brake because he was on just a few minutes ago or a few seconds ago. Commissioner Brake, are you in attendance? Take your phone off mute.
Yes, I'm sorry, my phone, okay. I couldn't get off mute.
Okay, thank you, sir. So, Mr. Chairman, yeah. we do have a quorum of four commissioners. I think Commissioner Geiler had a situation, but he will probably be joining us later. There's several staff on the phone, myself, Director Gray. Everyone, please mute your phones while you're not speaking. I believe Deputy Finley is here, Assistant Director Jim DeVos, Assistant Director Craig McMullen, and I suspect several others.
Thank you.
So with that, Mr. Chairman, if you'd like to call the meeting to order, I can go ahead and go into the intro if you'd like to.
Go ahead with the intro. I think the meeting is called to order. So.
Okay, very good. So this meeting is being webcast to enable the public to hear the proceedings online. However, the webcast is not interactive. Members of the public may view or listen to the meeting at the department's website under /commission cam, or may listen to the meeting by calling 602-666-0783, access code 280-046-234#. Mr. Chairman, with that, I'd like to announce we're operating off agenda item number one, dated April 6, 2020. And for the benefit of the public, agendas are available and located on the department's website. There will be no public comment available at this meeting. So with that, Mr. Chairman, we can start with the agenda.
Please, go ahead.
Okay. All right. Mr. Chairman, item one is overview of statewide restrictions on accessing public lands for outdoor recreation and response to COVID-19. Our presenter is Craig McMullen. Before Craig starts, I'd like to provide a little background. And first, it's important to note that the governor is the decision maker in responding to the current state of emergency for Arizona. His office receives information from all available sources. These would include, you know, like the CDC, the Department of Health Services, the White House, business sector, public, and others. And with that input, sets policy and guidance for the state. As policy and guidance changes, the department's actions will follow. Our top priority is public and employee health and safety and providing essential services to Arizonans. To accomplish this, we've been operating under the guidance of the governor's executive orders and recommendations from the CDC and Department of Health Services. On March 23rd, Governor Ducey issued Executive Order 2020-12 prohibiting the closure of essential services, which outlined essential functions and activities. Among those was outdoor recreation that can be conducted with social distancing. On March 31st, Governor Ducey issued Executive Order 2020-18, which outlined the Stay Home, Stay Healthy, Stay Connected policy that promotes physical distancing while encouraging social connectedness. This built on actions that the state had already taken and memorializing some that were already in effect. Under Executive Order 2020-18, all individuals in the state of Arizona shall limit their time away from their place of residence, except, among a few other allowed purposes, to conduct or participate in essential activities, which outdoor recreation, if appropriate physical distancing practices are used, was again included. Fishing, hunting, wildlife viewing, boating, recreational shooting, and off-highway vehicle recreation activities are in line with the current executive order, as they can be done while applying appropriate social distancing measures. Most agencies have taken actions to protect public health by closing or restricting access to some areas or facilities that can't be managed within CDC guidelines. The department recognizes and fully agrees that some high-use areas and facilities needed to be closed or managed for limited access to ensure physical distancing and help stop the spread of COVID-19. We've made operational changes ourselves at our Benny Avery shooting facility, as well as a few other commission-owned properties the past few weeks. The department has concerns that some of the current and potential future closures on public lands do not align with the governor's executive order, and that they prohibit citizens from accessing outdoor recreation opportunities that can be done with appropriate physical distancing measures. The department, along with other county, state, and federal land management agencies, share concerns that these closures will result in crowding situations at other open areas they manage, forcing them to further restrict access. I would tell you, we continue to share these concerns with the federal land management agencies and encourage creative solutions. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Craig, who's going to provide the update on the status of outdoor recreational opportunities in Arizona. Go ahead, Craig. Craig, are you there?
Good afternoon. Thank you, Director Gray. Good afternoon, commissioners, and good afternoon to all the public who's listening in today. As Director Gray said, the governor's executive order identifies outdoor recreation as an essential service as long as appropriate social distancing is used. And I think it's important to understand, also tearing off of what Director Gray said, that the best chance for the collective of federal, state, county, and municipal agencies who manage recreational opportunity to meet the intent of the governor's order is to have a good idea what each other is doing and hopefully to be rowing in the same direction. So the information I'm going to provide the commission today is designed to help the commission understand what are the current conditions related to access for outdoor recreation in Arizona. I'm going to start. I have about 10 minutes of information for you. I'm going to start talking about the posture of the state, county, and municipal agencies, and then I'll follow up what we know about today with the conditions on federal lands. The reason I say and emphasize what we know today is, as you might expect, conditions are changing rapidly on the ground. As a matter of fact, I was getting updates until I dialed in to talk to you all. So what I hope to do is really just paint a broad enough picture, realizing that things are changing and leaders and managers are having to make decisions daily based on changing conditions, but a broad enough picture to help you with your deliberations. So as I said, I'll start with state agencies, and I'll start with our own. We have 37 wildlife areas encompassing just under 300,000 acres. All of our wildlife areas are open for normal business, no trailheads, parking areas, or use areas are closed. We have two visitor centers. One is closed by the calendar, not scheduled to open until May because it's in the high country. The other one is closed. Here at Ben Avery, as far as shooting range opportunities, our archery range is open. We're using an Iron Ranger for cash only. Our rifle and pistol ranges are available for user groups and law enforcement. And again, like a lot of the other agencies, we're making those decisions based on the facilities we have and our ability to manage the flow of the public. Moving on to the Arizona State Land Department. Arizona State Land Department manages the state's 9 million acres of state trust lands. They currently have no closures related to COVID-19 of either trailheads, lands, or parking areas. Arizona State Parks. They have 31 park units in the state, three of which are currently closed. But those three that are currently closed are characterized primarily by museum-type experiences that are indoors and mostly convene people in close proximity to each other. And then also tours at Karchner Caverns are currently not operating. As far as their infrastructure, retail and visitor centers are largely closed, or in some places where they can manage it, they're letting a few people in at a time. Their group use sites that are, you know, large ramadas or group visitor site areas that are designed to convene large groups of people, those are closed. But the campgrounds, day use sites, trails, and trailheads are open. Park managers are authorized to make some real-time calls and adjust operations to manage the flow of the public and maintain recreational opportunities while still managing social distancing. We've been coordinating closely with the state parks, and it's been interesting to hear that they've had some real significant impacts from relocators. I think that's a new term that we haven't used before, at least I haven't, but it refers to folks who have relocated to different facilities from others that have closed either regionally or within the state. I talked about the fact that their staff is authorized to make some adjustments to day use areas and things like that. And there are a couple places that they mentioned specifically, Havasu and even Homolivi and Alamo. And today, the staff there at Alamo had to make a decision on short notice because I think largely from as a result of relocators combined with their normal traffic, plus the crappie bites starting, to temporarily close down the ramp. But I know they're working feverishly to figure out ways to maintain access there. But that's an example of the type of work that's going in up by state and many other agencies, counties, and municipalities to keep things open. So I want to pivot now to talk about counties and municipalities. And I guess I would start by saying that they're largely positioned the same across the state. When you consider areas that they manage that are designed to convene people in close proximity to each other, you know, offices, rec centers, playgrounds, group use ramadas, athletic courts, they're closed. They're largely closed. I think that's an accurate characterization generally. They're positioned similarly also with regard to open space. And so when starting to talk about the counties, I think I'll highlight Maricopa County Parks and Recreation. Specifically, Lake Pleasant is still open for boating and camping at semi-developed sites, the camping specific to semi-developed sites. But day use, trails, trailheads, they're open. They have instituted measures here and there to modify the numbers of people and times of use in order to comply with CDC guidelines. But again, they're open. And like I said, Maricopa County's posture represents the majority of cities and counties. We were able to look at 37 counties and municipal agencies, large and small, geographically dispersed across the state. We gathered up some really useful data that State Parks has been tracking, so thank you to them. And they're treating open spaces and trailheads the same. They're open, similar to state parks. They're instituting measures here and there to manage how many people and how often, and they're using their open spaces, but they're open. We have 44 community fishing waters spread across 21 different cities and towns, one county managed, one public utility pond, and there are two community fishing waters on BLM. They're open for fishing, and we're continuing our stocking. So now I want to spend a couple minutes talking about U.S. Forest Service, federal land management agencies generally. On the Forest Service, there are 258 sites that are either closed or scheduled to close by the end of this week. I wanted to point out that the initial closure order came without even a thimbleful of coordination with us state agencies. We had no previous warning that it was coming, that I'm aware of. There's a lot of interest by the public. I fielded calls myself, and I know many of you commissioners probably have as well, about whether any of the Forest Service closures prohibit the entry onto Forest Service lands generally, open spaces, like an entire forest or an entire ranger district, for example. And none of the current closure orders do that, nor are we aware that any of those are pending. But I want to talk a little bit more about how those 258 current or pending closures are characterized. 121 campgrounds and overnight areas, two OHV areas, 51 day use areas, 34 group use sites. This is just the forests in Arizona. Six picnic sites, 12 shoreline areas. So if you looked at like Bartlett Flats or Bachelor Cove at Roosevelt, places like that. So there's a dozen of those. 13 trailheads and 5 boat ramps. The 5 boat ramps are over at Saguaro and Canyon. The boat ramps are closed to the public there. And then one of two public boat ramps at Bartlett is currently closed. I think at Saguaro, if you have a boat moored at the marina, or you choose to rent a boat, you can still do that. Now on to the other federal agencies. BLM, offices and visitor centers are closed, but they waive day use fees. Campgrounds and trailheads are open. There are no significant restrictions to the public's use of their open spaces that they manage. U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, they have 9 refuges in the state of Arizona. Their offices and visitor centers, group use sites are closed, but again, they have no major access restrictions to the public. Moving on to the National Park Service, I think they have 9 units in the state. And if you were to visit their website, you read a statement along the lines of that facilities and events are closed or canceled, and many of the outdoor spaces remain accessible to the public. And people are invited to check with the local parks for changes in operations. And that's what we're seeing with the park service units in the state of Arizona. For example, on Lake Mead National Recreation Area, which covers Lakes Mead and Mojave, they're following the lead of the respective governors. Of course, those two lakes border two different states, Nevada and Arizona. The Nevada side ramps are closed. Arizona side ramps are open. They have varying degrees of status with regard to their concessionaires and things like that. But again, the general characterization is the ramps on the in Arizona are open. Glen Canyon National Recreation Area, that covers Lake Powell and Lee's Ferry. Currently, all the ramps at Lake Powell are closed. I know our department is working feverishly with leadership at Glen Canyon, and we appreciate the dialogue to figure out an option for WAWEEP. And so those conversations continue. The launch ramp at Glen Canyon, managed by Glen Canyon at Lee's Ferry, is currently open. So just following up with a couple of other the national parks, there are our park units that we have in the state. Saguaro National Park Visitor Center is closed, but their trails are open. Grand Canyon National Park is closed. And then several of the other smaller parks like Wapatki, Tuzegut, and Walnut Canyon are closed. So that's all the information I have to give to you guys today. But I think I'd close by saying again that if the collective of the agencies who are responsible for managing outdoor recreation and open spaces are going to meet the intent of the governor's executive order, they're best positioned to succeed if they're rowing in the same direction. And so I'm happy to answer questions.
Mr. Chairman, it's Kurt. I have no questions. I thought Kurt did a great job in summarizing the current status of where we find ourselves trying to deal with federal agency and still comply with the governor of the state of Arizona's request. Good job, Greg.
Mr. Chairman, it's Kurt. I have a couple questions.
Go, please proceed.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. Mr. McMullen, I do want to get a little bit more into the, there are currently well over 200 different closures in Arizona.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Davis, the 258 number referred specifically and only to, when I threw that number out, it was specifically to U.S. Forest Service area closures of the various kinds of sites, campgrounds and things like that.
So my second question for you is, we have MOUs, standing MOUs with all of those forests, correct?
That's correct.
Those MOUs describe the cooperative relationship that is to occur between our agency and those federal agencies. If I remember the MOUs we've authorized in the past, is that generally correct?
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Davis, yeah, I think that the best way I could characterize it is that, and this is not taking from specific language in the MOUs, but I think a good way to answer it is that good governance would dictate close coordination between agencies that share stewardship of natural resources on the same ground. And so I think if you were to characterize the intent and the content behind that MOU, that might be a pretty good way to do it. But there are, I think, also specific instances that call out the need to closely coordinate on this specific thing and that specific thing, as well as generally.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for the answer, and I think let me follow up with that, and for you and the director, where would you, it seems to me that coordination related to the closures, and not that all, I'm not by any chance, by any means saying that some of the closures are not responsible, some of them are, they're obvious areas where there's going to be, people are not going to be able to socially distance, that kind of thing. But in the relation to these closures, what would you describe the coordination with department as being?
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Davis, it was, I would say, anemic at the beginning because of the initial closure order was issued without any coordination that I'm aware of.
Okay.
I'll leave it at that for the purposes of deliberation. Well, and I guess I would add that the regional director has convened a group to after the initial closure order went into effect to discuss issues moving forward. I guess is the best way I could characterize it.
Okay, and then the next question I have is. And as much as it's a statement or some information, I actually had an opportunity to have a conversation with the mayor of Page today related to the Lake Powell closures. He was quite frankly told one thing on one day, and then 2 days later, he heard that the lake was going to be closed, which was in complete reversal of what he was told by the Park Service in his previous conversation. He was clearly frustrated in our conversation. Obviously, that community page is one of those great examples of what happens when closures are made and not done with appropriate coordination with the people that it impacts most. And Mr. Chairman, if you wouldn't mind, I'd like to say a few words about that, and it may help with the context of this directive on our agenda related to potential direction of the department. But it seems to me that this is a seminal time for partnerships to actually function and actually prove themselves if they're to be honest and legitimate. And our MOUs are actually set up for these exact kinds of situations. And so I believe in this matter that the commission should be talking to the department, and I'm glad to hear, and I know there has been some burps, I guess we'll call them, of attempted coordination in these closures, but I think it's important still that the commission authorize a letter from you, Mr. Chairman, to our federal partners, quite frankly, and above, and their bosses up the food chain in Washington, D.C., that the commission expects there to be robust coordination with our department. And it's built on this very simple premise, which is the governors of our 50 states are the nexus for the decision making of what is to be open and what is to be closed, what are to be acceptable activities and what are not to be acceptable activities. They're the one entity in our states that are an intersection between the CDC, between 50 fellow governors, between the White House, between state health authorities, between county and local health authorities. The one nexus everyone agrees that exists in this emergency that we're dealing with is the governors of our respective 50 states. And I think that there should be a strong message sent to our federal partners. And by the way, the president who leads our federal government has been also clear in his support of the notion that the 50 governors make appropriate decisions for their states, for how they are going to handle the ability to institute appropriate social distancing, recreational opportunities, mental health, and all the things that come with dealing with a pandemic like this. And so I think a letter from our chairman, in coordination with the governor's office, of course, is appropriate to explain that we believe very strongly, the commission does, that closures and the contemplation of closures should be done within and with coordination and support of the governor, who is the policy nexus for Arizona and in the other 49 states in which that they deal with. So I think that is a very important notion that should be communicated from the chairman, and our and the staff also being able to, in their meetings, to be able to clearly delineate that with the feds, that our expectation as a commission is that any closure decisions are based, again, on the appropriate decision maker in each state, which in our case, and as it is in the other 50, is the governor. So I think that's an important notion. And the governor, in turn, can then coordinate and help coordinate with mayors, county officials, et cetera, of which they've been doing. And the last thing I want to put on the table, and I know two of our commissioners come from urban areas, and I think one of the things that's sometimes misunderstood by our by federal bureaucracies that by and large are operating outside of those urban areas, there is a if there is a notion in many of the urban areas that much of the federal opportunities, the open space, the places that people can go to get away, are closed. And in turn, that can create pressure on the open spaces, the more limited open spaces that exist in those urban cores. And if you look at Phoenix in particular, you'll see that there are places that are being overused and don't necessarily meet now social distancing requirements because people have flooded to those areas because they need the ability to get out. And so I think sometimes we need to be clear in our messaging as well that these spaces will actually help in creating distance, and that there should be a focus by the federal agencies in understanding that premise and honoring that premise when they're making decisions and coordinating with our department, hopefully, about what are appropriate and not appropriate closures. And then the last thing I'll say, and I'll shut up, is that I think it's also very important for our partners to fully understand that we are dealing with something that is going to help train us for the future. And so how we act in these times is going to demonstrate a lot about how we will act in future and other times. So there's an opportunity here for people to do things the right way, to do them in a coordinated way, to do them in a way that helps provide recreational opportunities, an outlet for people in what is an extraordinary time. And it also allows for us to to continue some things that we can currently do that give them some normalcy. And then the last thing, as I would ask the director, the department to do, is obviously we have some hunts coming up that are very important to our state, and that a strong message is communicated through the chairman's letter or through other devices. I'll leave that to the department. They're very clear with our federal partners that we have people that have an expectation that they are going to go out and enjoy their opportunities to turkey hunt and other hunting opportunities and angling opportunities that are very important. So with that, I'll shut up, but I believe those are some things that should be communicated immediately. And thanks, Mr. McMullen, for the presentation.
And Commissioner Davis, this is Commissioner Sparks. I couldn't agree more with the tone of what you're trying to convey in a very, very political, gentlemanly fashion. I myself have been concerned that after talking to Craig and listening to Craig, that there's some health and safety issues involved by preventing the public to use certain areas of the state, which are controlled by the state of Arizona. And this failure causes, I think, more tension, more confusion, more dangers, and more risk, and makes it harder for people to get through these trying times that we're in. So, Craig, if you have anything you want to add on that, I think it certainly takes away a lot of parts of the state where people can go and maybe unwind and not have too close a contact with each other and enjoy, at least be able to enjoy certain recreational ideas.
Mr. Chairman, I think that the sum of what's been discussed, I think, characterizes pretty well the conditions, and that's that I think it would be accurate to say that relocators is not a derogatory term. It shouldn't be taken that way. But what it's telling, I think, a lot of observers is that there's a huge demand for public recreation. And to use the governor's executive order as a foundation for that in a way that provides for social distancing. And so there are lots of examples of federal and state agencies who are working very hard to manage their normal flow of traffic and also the flow of relocated traffic. And the decisions that people are making, I think, and this is me trying to project a little bit, and so take it for what it is, but there are a lot of very dedicated men and women in the federal, state, municipal, and county agencies who are trying to make the best decisions possible to hit the bullseye for the governor's executive order, which is outdoor recreation as an essential service with social distancing.
That's well put. Well put. Anything else, Commissioner Davis, you want to add, or is any motion you want to think at this time that we should all address?
Chairman, this is Jim Guggenhauer. I have a couple of questions.
Please proceed.
Okay. Thanks, Craig, for the presentation. I have a couple of questions for you. The first one is I'm getting many phone calls from people in Rim Country asking about what is closed, what's open, and I'm wondering, has the department received an uptick in the amount of questions and concerns or maybe issues when they were out camping and had to leave a campground for some reason? And then my second question is, I also read the letter from Mayor Tappan from Page, and I was wondering, if the National Park Service did not coordinate with the Game and Fish, did they at least coordinate with the governor's office and get acceptance or buy into what they were doing at Lake Powell?
So I'll take the first question, and then I have not been the point of conversations with Lake Powell. I think Assistant Director Jim DeVos is on the phone, and he's been the point for that. For Glen Canyon, I think he'd be better positioned to answer the second question. As far as the first question, it's difficult for me to say from my chair except that there's, I think, a general buzz of concern, and maybe confusion is an overstatement. I'm not sure, and it probably varies depending on the area, the density of closures, and how well people are connected with the ability to get information from the agencies that administer the places they want to recreate. But I understand the focus of your question, Commissioner Guggenhauer, and I would say it's accurate to say that there are concerns and some confusion still about where people can and can't go.
Okay, and then, thank you, Mr. DeBoss.
Mr. DeBoss, are you on the phone?
Sounds like we've lost Mr. DeVos. And so what I would say, Commissioner Guggenhauer, in answer to your question is
Craig,
that,
Commissioner Chairman, Commissioner Guggenhauer, I think I'm on now.
We can hear you.
You are. Okay, perfect. So I think the a little bit of background on Glen Canyon is in order. I think Utah through their wildlife department, and it had to do with concerns over aquatic invasive species. Director Gray had a discussion with his counterpart in Utah, and for a few days it appeared that the lake would not be closed. The governor of Utah has made a very strong statement about the importance of closing Powell because of the risk of aquatic invasive species transport to other Utah lakes where they're absent. Colorado governor has also closed many of the areas to the recreating public on the upper end of Powell. So I think the change was pretty quick in the Park Service's position. They had communicated with the local community, with Page, but I think that the discussions that Commissioner Davis had with the mayor and that I had today with the city council seems to indicate that the local input was received, but they were more persuaded by the push from the Utah governor. I think that's the background. So there was some discussion, but the governor failed.
Thank you, Jim. Mr. DeVos, thank you.
Jim, I do have a question, Mr. DeVos, and a follow-up. In those conversations, I mean, again, and I know Arizona is a small portion of that lake, but there could be opportunities to keep Arizona's portion open, correct?
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Davis, I think there is some opportunity, and in my discussion with the City of Page, they're very interested in cooperating any way that they can with the department to help keep the area open. I think it's important to point out that Antelope Point is on tribal lands, and that's closed. So I think our discussion has focused on Wawee. I found that the Park Service is receptive to the discussions, and they have indicated that they will keep in their view, the shores of Powell are open for angling, the water's open for non-motorized sports, and they intend to keep Lee's Ferry open. So I think we've had a fruitful dialogue with the Park Service. I think over the next few days, I think will be an important time frame for the discussions with the park. I know that Utah Department of Wildlife Resources is steadfastly pushing against opening any type of access to the lake. So that's, I think, the park is receptive to the discussions. They're in a conundrum at this point of time, kind of trying to meet very differing demands of access to Lake Powell.
So one follow-up question, Mr. Chairman, for Mr. DeVos. If I could be wrong on this, but is there a program that exists in Page where we have people who have special permits who are have gone through testing and education regimens related to clean boats, quagga mussel, all that stuff, and they actually have decals on their vessels? Has there been any discussion about allowing those folks who have gone through that process and have a permit for them to be able to have access to the lake?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Davis, there's been a lot of discussion on that. That program was administered by the Utah Division of Wildlife Resources. They have not been active for some time, although there are boaters that do have the stickers that you referenced. The department has some discussion within our aquatic invasive species program and with the Region 2 staff. We believe that we have the ability to stand up a very similar program. That's where a lot of the discussion with the city of Page comes into play. They are willing to be partners in the staffing requirement for the boating inspections. There is some discussion with Utah Department of Wildlife Resources by AIS staff. Utah is pushing that the people at the ramp be law enforcement certified so that they could deal with boaters that would use the lake without regard to being involved in the sticker program. So a long answer to a simple question. Yes, there is a program, as you described. It has not been active as it was administered by Utah. The department is right now developing the resources that we would need to stand that program up.
Commissioner, Chairman Clark, this is Commissioner Briggs. Can I make a comment, please?
Yes, please. Go ahead, Commissioner.
I see this as the tragedy is a lack of miscommunication. But running through this whole scenario is something that deeply bothers me, and that is it appears to me that one of the major problems that we have is our communication with, quote, our partner, the U.S. Forest Service. Seems to me that based on what you, Craig, have said and other people have said, the other agencies are doing the best they can do. The Forest Service did not communicate at all with us before they made those closures. If I understood Craig's presentation, and it's only been afterwards they're putting together some sort of team, whatever that means, to start that process. My feeling of it is I have gone to several meetings where the Forest Service gets up and talks about partnership and how well it's worked with our agency and et cetera. And yet when we come to our first time of crisis, I do not see them acting as a good partner at all. And I think that says a lot to how we handle ourselves in the future, unless we can change this around. We'll get through the coronavirus thing one way or another at some time or another. But I think a major problem is we need to have some kind of a definition from the United States Forest Service, particularly that in Arizona, if how they expect and what they define as a partnership, because I do not, I feel like I signed up for a partnership that does not exist. Thank you.
Anyone else have a comment?
Mr. Chairman, this is Kurt. I really appreciate Commissioner Brake's comments and Commissioner Guggenhauer's questions. I think, and one of the things that, you know, we and maybe didn't say clearly enough in this is that these decisions by federal land agencies, land management agencies such as the Forest Service, also create unique and growing pressure problems on our state land department, who have, you know, are managing lands in trust for the people of Arizona. And if they become overused or over-occupied because of pressures, that's not going to be any good. The state parks department be overrun. I know that I actually looked at their reservations for some of their locations, and they're doing a brisk business, but they can only handle so much. And so I think, again, I think a very clear letter to our federal partners that our expectation is that closures are done in coordination with our department. Number two, that the governor, a recognition, and the governor is the nexus for making the decisions in Arizona about what remains open, what remains essential, how we do our business of recreating. Those things are determined by our chief executive. The third thing that I think should be very clear in the in that notation is this discussion of MOUs, and this is the time to make MOUs real, or we're just going to, or are we just going to recognize them as paper only? And that message should be clearly communicated to our partners here, as well as up the food chain. All the way up through the secretary, as far as I'm concerned, from the chairman on behalf of the commission. So I guess my motion would be for those three things. And I would appreciate a copy of our current MOUs with our forests. I'd like to reeducate myself on the verbiage that's in those. Because MOUs are something that I think are real and do matter. I know that our department honors them, and so I would just like to have a chance to read those. But my motion would be for those three things, and I know we have an executive session to discuss other legal stuff, but that would be my motion, those 3 points.
Okay. There's a second on that?
Second.
I'll second that. This is Guiler.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposition? Carries? Motion carries. Do you think at this time, Commissioner Davis, we should, in order to refine some of our issues we've talked about, we should possibly go to executive session?
For legal briefing, I'd make a motion that we go on executive assessment just for legal briefing.
I second that, Commissioner Guiler.
Anyone in opposition? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. We're adjourned to executive session. Thank you.
All right, Mr. Chairman, we're back live. Would you like me to move to item number 3?
I would, please.
Item 3 is commission action associated with executive session. Presented to Modenkirk, General Counsel. Mr. Chairman, I and the commission, I recommend that we table that item and move to adjourn.
All in favor?
Chairman, I make a motion.
Chairman,
I make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
Second.
Anyone opposed? So adjourned. Thank you, gentlemen.